Wow. Thank you, youth band. That was awesome. Great stuff. Well, tonight we began an interesting series in the book of the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. So I invite you all to turn in your Bibles to that book. If you need to look on a book, on a Bible in front of you, a black book that you might find underneath the seat in front of you, that would be page 775. It's very important that you read along. Song of Songs, also called the Song of Solomon in some Bibles. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Father, we ask as we come to your word now that you would speak in a mighty, wonderful way. Lord, I am so grateful that you give truth on every area of life, and that there is no subject off limits. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are concerned with every area of our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your spirit, your word, in these very important matters. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Two things about this book before we begin reading the text. Number one, it's very controversial. In fact, you could say the Song of Solomon is the most controversial book in the Bible. And that's because of the content of this book. This book is filled with sensual language, erotic language. This is a book that speaks very openly and frankly about romantic love, marital love, sexual desire, sexual satisfaction and passion, all of that. I mean, there are some verses in this book that will make you blush. And so for that reason, a lot of Christians have completely ignored this book over the years. Many church denominations even forbid their congregants from reading this book. One of the early church fathers, a guy by the name of Jerome, gave some advice to a mother who wanted to educate her daughter in the scriptures. And Jerome said to this mom, if you want to educate your daughter in the scriptures, first have her study the book of Psalms, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, then Job, then the Gospels, then the Acts, then the Epistles, then make her memorize the first seven books of the Bible. Then make her memorize 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, Ezra, and Esther. When she has done all these, she may safely read the Song of Solomon. So it's a very controversial book, and it's also a book that is one of the most debated books in all of the Bible. People have written volumes on the Song of Solomon. There are so many different perspectives on it. There are so many different interpretations. John Gill, a popular preacher, Puritan preacher, preached 121 sermons on this book. Another French theologian preached 88 sermons just on chapter 1. And so there's a lot of different takes on it. There are people that say that this book should be taken allegorically, figuratively only. There are some that say this is just a collection of poems that make no difference. Some see the Song of Solomon as a drama. Some say that the Song of Solomon is a book that's only meant to be a picture of God's love for Israel. Some say that the book of Song of Solomon is meant to only be a picture of Christ's love for the church, and on and on and on and on and on. But I believe that there is a straightforward meaning. I believe there is a face value meaning to this book. I believe that this is God's handbook on romantic love, on marital love, on the sexual relationship. And folks, I'm glad that God has given us this book, because that's a big part of our lives. Let's face it. Is your love life a big part of your life? God has given a book on it. Now, some might say, well, what does God know about sex? What does God know about romance? Well, he invented it. He created us male, female. He created us with those desires. He knows how the whole system works. And here's his guideline. And reading this book will correct your view of those things. You know, this world puts forth a perverted, twisted view of sex and love, doesn't it? In this world, you learn about sex from books like 50 Shades of Grey, which is an utter travesty. Perverted, twisted lies. Here's God's manual. And I will also say this. There are many Christians who, when it comes to talking about this subject, they get very uncomfortable. They think, you know, romance and sex, all of that's very dirty, sinful, evil, wicked. Stay away from it. No, it ain't. That stuff is very, very good and right and holy if under control and in the right context. This book is about a young man, some say King Solomon, when he was young and innocent, King Solomon. And a young woman, a Shulamite woman, and this couple is falling in love. They are attracted to one another, and it's a whole dialogue between this young man and this woman. And you sort of track the relationship all the way through the book. And you even see the relationship of this young man and woman in the three phases of their relationship. They're dating and courtship phase when they're single. And then the wedding day and the honeymoon. And then the third phase would be the maturing of their marriage. Now, we're going to spend 2 weeks on each one of those phases as we go through this book. So tonight, we're going to look at the dating, the courtship phase. Single man, single woman, attracted to one another. Now, as we read through this text, I want you to notice what attracts them to each other. Okay? Let's begin. Verse 1, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Here's the young woman speaking, the Shulamite. She says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away. The daughters of Jerusalem," her friends say, "will run after you." She says, "The king has brought me into his chambers." The daughters, her friends say, We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. And then this young woman says of this man that she loves, rightly do they love you. Now here's a young woman who's in love. She's met Solomon, young Solomon, this young man. She's taken with him. She's attracted to him. She's beginning to desire this man romantically, physically. And these are feelings that she has. And I want you to know that these are absolutely normal. There are nothing wrong with those kinds of feelings. Being attracted to someone romantically. That's not sinful. That's not normal. So if you ever find yourself being attracted to someone, that's not something that you have to go to God and repent over. Oh God, I'm sorry. These are natural, normal feelings. It's how God built us. Now, I want you to see that her attraction to this man isn't just physical. Look at, a little closer, verse 3. She says, because of the fragrance of your good ointments. And she says, your name is ointment poured forth. I'm so attracted to this guy, she says, because his name is sweet. His name smells good. In the Old Testament, the name that you were given was very important, and the name was an indication of your character. Oh, hear that, your character. Here's a young woman attracted to a young man. And she says, man, that guy's character is sweet. Here's a man who's kind and gentle and patient and strong, loving. She was attracted to his character. And she says all the other girls recognize that about him. All the other girls love this guy. And rightly do they love this guy. Rightly are they attracted to this guy. Why? Because his name is so sweet. His character is so sweet. Oh, please, please understand. Young ladies, single ladies. It's not all about the physical looks. It's character. Be attracted to the guy with a sweet character. Young men, be attracted to the women with sweet, tender character. And I will say this to you young men and women, Christian young men and women, listen, you want to be attractive? Work on your character. Seek to be a man or woman of sweet inner character that will make you attractive to the right girls. Young ladies, you work on your character. Be beautiful in character, which will make you attractive to the right guys. Character. Now she goes on, she's talking, and here's where she begins to talk about what she looks like, her physical looks. In verse 5, she says, I am dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, that's what I'm like the curtains of Solomon. She says, do not look upon me because I'm dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Now, let me ask you, what does she think about her personal looks? How does she think about what she looks like? She has a very modest view, doesn't she? She has a very humble view. I see her sort of saying, you know, I look okay. I'm not Miss America. But I look just fine. And I see her actually downplaying the physical looks. And we have the reasoning here. Apparently she had some brothers that were mad at her. And these brothers being awesome guys, as brothers usually are, right? Force her to go work in a vineyard all day. So here's a young woman working in a vineyard from sunup to sundown in the hot sun, being darkened and tanned by that sun. Now, in our culture, we think sun tanning's beautiful, don't we? Back then, it wasn't considered beautiful. What was beautiful back then was women with pale, fair skin. So here she's saying, I'm darkened, don't even look upon me. And then she even says, I'm so busy taking care of the vineyards that I've forgotten to take care of my own vineyard, my own body. Okay, so here's a woman where the physical looks thing isn't high up there on the charts. And she's not concerned about it. And check this out. That young man, King Solomon, thinks she's the most beautiful thing on the face of the planet. Not because of physical looks. There's an inner beauty. There was an inner beauty. Young men, young ladies, single men, single ladies. You should be attracted to one with inner beauty. An inner beauty. That should be high on your scale. And young man, young woman, let me tell you, work on your inner qualities. Now, I know that we live in a society that is obsessed with physical beauty, don't we? I mean, it's all the pressure. Oh, the girls have to look like the cover models, right? The cover girl models. And everybody's trying to make themselves look beautiful. And so people are going to the gym and practically killing themselves for the figure, right? And the curve, and the diets where you're starving yourself to death. And the guys trying to get all muscled up. All about, how do I look? And I'll tell you, we live in a society that is obsessed with that. I'm telling you right now, you don't be obsessed with that. Do not be obsessed with your outward physical appearance. I mean, do the best you can, right? Don't intentionally look ugly. The New Testament says, adorn yourself with the doctrine of God. Adorn yourself with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's that inner beauty. You understand? And if you're looking and you're wanting to date and one day you're wanting to get married, you find that person with inner beauty. Will there be physical attraction? Yes, there will. But you look at the inner. And there's a very practical reason why you should do this. Those of you who are young, you haven't discovered this yet, but as you get older, you discover that beauty is fleeting. Gravity begins to work on your body. Bro, you're not going to look like that big stud that you look like now. Physical beauty is fleeting. Inner beauty keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Listen, you want to marry a woman? Marry that man. And you want it to be a committed, glorious, wonderful relationship for a lifetime? It's inner beauty. Be looking at that. Not just how a guy looks, not just how a gal looks. Now, the other thing that I think makes this girl extremely attractive is that she is hardworking. And I cannot overemphasize this point. Here's a young woman who's working very hard, and it is not a glamorous job. She's in a vineyard. Sun up to sundown, we find out also that she helps shepherd goats later. This is a very hard worker. And I just want to say, young ladies, young men, single ladies, single men, when you're dating, when you're looking, you find somebody who's working hard. You make a very quick observation of a person's life. What kind of worker are they? Guys, you want to find a woman who is a good worker. You want to find that girl who's making the straight A's, who's committed, who's responsible, who's got a plan, who's going. You do not want to marry the woman who is a prissy, prima donna woman sitting around the house worried about cracking a nail. You will be bored out of your mind. You'll want to blow your brains out later. And ladies, listen very carefully to me. You want to find a man who works. You want to find a man who works. You don't want to find a mama's boy. Mama, wait on me. You don't want that guy. You don't want a lazy man. No, sir. I would say to you, find that guy who's making straight A's, who's going for it, who has a plan. Find the guy who you know will take whatever job there is available to make sure there's bread on the table for you and your future children with him. Last, you do not want to marry someone lazy. And I will tell you this right now. A man and a woman that works, men and women who are working, responsible adults, absolute jewels. Jewels. Precious. Precious. Let that be a part of what you're looking for. Amen. Okay, she speaks to her beloved in verse 7. She says, "Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions?" Now here she's saying, where do you work? How can I spend some time with you? And she's saying, and I need to spend some time with you in a responsible place. Where do you rest the flocks at noon? And I'm going to come visit you at noon. I don't want to come at night veiled. And that is a very good thing because understand, back then, that was how the prostitutes dressed. The loose women. The harlots. The women that were out to seduce men, they'd show up at the camp at night, veiled. And that was their way of saying, here I am. Take me. And this woman is saying, I will not be that. I am not going to be the prostitute. I am not going to be the loose woman. I am not going to be the one who tries to attract men by being sexy. Sex appeal. Here's a woman who's chaste. You know what that means? Pure. Decent. Clean sexually. Young ladies. Single ladies. Be chaste. Don't go around seducing men. Don't try to get men to like you by being seductive. You be different. Now, we live in a culture that is obsessed with sex, and I can't stand what it teaches women. You look at the role models. Look at Gaga. Beyonce. And look, and I'm going to be really frank with you. Here's women wearing slutty clothing, prancing around in front of men. And our culture says, girls, go do that. Now, some of you high school girls, I've spoken. I know what goes on. And by the way, I was in high school once. A few years ago. No, much longer. There are those popular girls that you might be jealous of. Oh, they always have boyfriends. Why is it that they always get the dates? They're so popular. Are they loose women? Are they giving the guys what they want? Don't you dare be a part of that. Be pure. Be innocent. Don't seduce. I'll tell you what. You know what kind of guy you're going to get if you attract them to yourself through sex appeal, through seduction? I'll tell you what kind of guy you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that will easily be seduced by the next girl. And he'll drop you and go on to get his next conquer. I have nothing to do with that. Guys, young men, have nothing to do with that. Those ladies come and they tempt you. Stay away. Be pure. Protect yourself. Respect yourself. Respect God. You have those feelings. Wait for the right time. Okay, so she asks her beloved, where do you work? How can I find you? Verse 8, he says, his first time talking. If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. Now, do you see there's a little playful banter here, a little back and forth. Hey, I don't know where you work. Where do you work? Well, if you can't find where I work, follow the tracks of the sheep. But the obvious implication is that they want to be with each other. They want to meet. They're looking for ways to be with one another. Now, I've been asked, if you're romantically attracted to someone, should you on purpose cross paths with that person? Should you try to put yourself out? And I would say, yeah. Why not? Said the Lord's will. Try to find places to meet. You know, my wife, Kim, she worked at the church office, and I was an intern there. And when we started seeing each other, you know, I started visiting that office a lot. And I'd even pretend I had business. You know, I might have some guy's number already, but I go to the front office. Hey, do you got this guy's number? Oh, hi, Kim. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Pray about that. Look what this guy says to her. Verse 9. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. Then the daughters chime in, we'll make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. Now, he says something very romantic. It doesn't sound romantic to us. He says, oh, you're like a horse. Don't say that on your first date. Oh, honey, you're like a horse. You got to understand the culture back then. Among Pharaoh's chariots, that's the place where all the stallions were. That was the stallions. He's saying, you're like a mare, a filly, among all those stallions. What he's saying to her is, wow. You are so rare. Man, you are unique. You are very special to me. And I want you to notice what he calls her in verse 9, other than the horse. Look what it says at the first of verse 9. He says, I've compared you, my wife. My love, nine times in this book, that young man calls that young woman my love. And I looked it up in the Hebrew. You know what it really could be translated? The essence of it is darling. My darling. And if you look it up in the Hebrew and you go down into the root, you find out that the very essence of that word is friend. Friend, nine times he says to this beautiful woman, you are my darling friend. That attraction was born out of friendship. Friendship. Again, not all the physical looks thing. They became friends. Just loving each other's company. Spending time together, laughing together. Companionship. Friendship. Now, I remember in high school when boyfriends and girlfriends used to grow, you know, break up. What's the big line?
I just want to be friends.
Remember that one? I even hear him today talk about it. Yeah, she doesn't want to go out with me. She put me in the friend zone. Right? Now, actually, I want you to think about this. There's nothing wrong with friends. That attraction should come out of being a friend. Out of friendship. What should attract you? Young lady, single lady. How about a guy who will truly be a friend and thinks of you as his darling friend? Vice versa. You know, I thought a lot about Kim and I and when we met and some of the things that we've already talked about made her so attractive to me. One of the things for sure was her sweet name. And by that I mean her sweet character. My wife is so kind. She is so generous and gentle. Just inner beauty. And I've been attracted always to her inner beauty. And you know what? When I met her, and still to this day, she is a hard worker. I remember meeting her at the church and watching. There she is serving at the church, doing all of these non-glamorous things. And I remember when we began to see each other, how it was built on a friendship. Now, when I first met Kim, she was engaged to another guy. And I was engaged to another girl, practically. We did not break up each other's engagements. Her engagement fell apart. My engagement fell apart. And we were very wounded souls. Dating can be ugly, can't it? When Kim and I began to see each other, here's the best way for me to explain it. It was just easy. It was just easy. It wasn't hard. It was friendship. In our prior relationships, it was hard work. All these emotions. You can't be yourself. Just craziness. Listen, when God brings you your mate, it's gonna be easy. It's gonna fit. It's gonna work. And so much of that is built on friendship. Friendship. Okay. They're attracted to each other. Character, inner beauty, hardworking, friendship. And in that attraction, their physical desire for one another begins to heat up. And they talk openly about it. This is one of those passages that might make you blush. Verse 12, the young woman says, "While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance." She says, "A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved to me is a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Now, here's a woman. The king's away. Solomon's away at a dinner. She's at home, and she's lying in her bed at night, and she's thinking about him. And she's saying, "Boy, I hope he remembers my scent tonight." And she says, "And as I lie awake thinking about him, I remember his scent." And she's desiring him. Whew. Right? He responds to her, verse 15. He's thinking about her as well. "Behold, you're fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes." She says in verse 16, "Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." And he says, "Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." "Oh, I'm thinking about you. I'm desiring you," she says. And he's desiring her. And she even says, "Our bed would be fertile, luxurious." Very candid. Some of you thought God was prude. Some of you thought that sex was nasty. Some of you thought that this kind of language is something that well, it's ugly and it's dirty. I want you to know it's in the Bible, and this is one of the greatest examples of that kind of passion. Do you understand? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that kind of desire. This young man and woman, as they're getting to know each other more and more, it's becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. But listen, it has to be controlled. And it has to take place in the right environment. Now, I want you to notice another word, something that she says about him in verse 16. She says, "Behold, you're handsome, my beloved." I don't think she said it like that, but "Behold, you are handsome, my beloved." And then notice what she says. Yes, pleasant, pleasant, pleasant. Mark that word. Charming is the Hebrew. Prince Charming. Now, when she thought of him lying awake at night in her bed, yes, she's thinking of how handsome she is, but she's also thinking of how charming. Speaking of his personality. I'm attracted to his personality. I'm attracted to her personality. It's pleasant. It's delightful. Please, young man, young woman, single man, single woman, be attracted to a person's personality. You don't want to marry that guy who's gruff. You know, who's about as pleasant as a cyborg, right? You would stay away from that guy. And guys, stay away from the girl who's just got this lousy attitude. A bitter, snotty kind of attitude. No, 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 no. Look at the personality. Look at the personality. Okay, now she says something here as we continue. And guys, you need to put a star by this. She's going to mention three things that she finds so attractive about this young man. Guys, if I were you, I'd figure this one out. In verse 3, she says, "Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Speaking to her girlfriends in verse 4, he says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Now she, listen, one of the things that she was really attracted to Solomon about was that when she was with him, she felt safe. She felt secure, protected. I sit down with this guy, and it's like I'm in shade. And I am protected from the hot sun. And I feel safe, and I feel secure. And I feel wanted, and I feel at peace when I'm with this guy. That's what young ladies want. Young ladies want to be with young men who they're safe with. They're safe. This guy isn't going to hurt me. This guy isn't going to use me. This guy isn't going to abuse me. This guy isn't going to belittle me. This guy's going to protect me. Guys, be strong. If you're starting to date a young lady and, man, things are going, are you going to be that? Or are you playing with a heart? Is she just your next conquest? And then secondly, she says, not only do I enjoy being under his shade, I just like to sit down with him. I'm delighted to sit down with him and taste of his fruit. It's almost like they go out and they have a picnic. We're sitting down. We're hanging out. We're having intimate communication here. We're talking. We're reaching one another's hearts. That is so important in the dating romantic. That's what should attract you. Again, not the physical looks, but the interaction. Reaching the heart. Having a friend. Somebody that you sit down with and you dream with. And you become vulnerable with. And you tell this young lady, this young man, here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I want to do. It's a deeper level. She wants that. By the way, married guys, your wife still wants that. That's something that should always be there. And then I love what she says to her girlfriends there in verse 4. He's like bragging. Hey, he brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me was love. Here's what she's saying. This guy brought me out in public. And everyone knew that he loved me. This guy gave me public affection. The banner, right? The banner is what they would use in the military. It stands out. It's visible. Here comes this army. Here's the banner. She's saying, this guy took me out to a banquet, and his banner over me was love. This guy took me out, and he preferred me. He opened the door for me. He walked with me, not 10 steps ahead of me. He sat me down. Here's a guy who's not hiding anything. Young ladies, single ladies, if you're hanging out with a guy and he's not preferring you, he's not showing public affection toward you, you know, you're going out with this guy and he's always with his friends and he drags you along, or he only takes you to a movie, places where you can't talk, or worse, he'll only talk to you after he's had a few beers. Run. Run. If that young man is like that while you're dating, he is going to be an absolute nightmare when you're married to him. And young men, don't you dare treat women like that. You getting interested in that young lady? It's getting serious, man. She's your queen. Amen? She's your queen and you prefer her. We were going through the airport the other day, and some guy walking 15 feet ahead of his wife. Wife dragging along, carrying luggage, 15 kids. No, not that many, but I mean, and here's this guy just walking ahead. I thought, what a creep. What a creep. Don't be a creep. She's your lady. Your banner over her is love. Right? And by the way, that keeps going all the way through marriage. I mean, I've been convicted. You know, when you're dating, you open every car door. And then I think the other day, I didn't open the door for Kim in the van, and a brother here at church did for her. And I'm looking at this guy like, great, you just made me look like a dog. Thank you so much. You prefer your wife. Okay, all this is going on. Do you see this? This is all in the dating relationship. It's all in the courtship. Okay? She is madly in love with him, and now I got to take you to another verse that will make you blush. Verse 5, she says, sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples. I am lovesick. Now, again, that sounds kind of funny. Oh, I love this guy. Get me some cake. Get me some raisin cake. That was thought to help your fertility. Raisin filled with seeds. Cake. Libido. She's saying, I want this guy. I'm ready. Verse 6. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. That is sex. That is a sexual picture. Now, it's not that they are having sex. This is her saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. Again, completely normal, but must be controlled. They're still dating. So look what it says in verse 7. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. You're going to feel like it. You're going to be so close. You're going to, but you're dating. You're not married. Don't. Do not awaken love. Do not arouse that area of your life until the right time. And my brother and sister in Christ, the right time for sex is at the marital bed. It's in the context of marriage. It's not dating. It's not being engaged. You got to control it. Okay. As young Christian men and women, as single Christian men and women, you need to be dead serious about that. Amen? One of the most perverted, twisted views of this whole thing, sex and romance, is the idea of the hookup, the one-night stand. The going to the party and hooking up. And that's happening younger and younger and younger, high school into middle school. Don't do that. You save yourself. Listen, if you get involved in that, you are ruining sex for you in the future. In the right context. You're giving away the most special part of you to a stranger. A stranger? Really? Do not awaken until it's time. Time Out survey asked 11,000 people in 24 cities this question: after how many dates is it appropriate to have sex? You know what the answer was? On average, the answer came out to 3.53. So according to the way people are thinking right now in our culture, in our society. By date number four, go for it. And all of the pressures on young people, and all of the movies, and all of the culture, and all of the music. Oh, my brother, my sister in Christ. Don't settle for that. Be chaste. It's the lie of the enemy. It can ruin your life. You determine, you make a covenant with God. I'm going to wait till I'm married. And listen, even when you begin to date and you meet that very serious person, we've read, haven't we? That desire gets strong. But you be patient. You wait. Okay. Dating. Courtship. What should attract you? What should you be working on, young person, in that whole area of your life? Well, your character. Your inner beauty. Your working. Your friendship, your personality. What kind of protection, what kind of strength are you going to offer? How are you going to treat a woman? Intimate, heart-to-heart communication. Work on that. By the way, you could apply all this into the marriage too, can't you? You know, don't do all this stuff when you're dating and then when you're married go, now the real me. Keep going. Keep going. Build, build, build. Make it more and more and more beautiful. A lot of what we talk tonight has to deal with this inside stuff, this inward character, and I just want to close by saying this. Only Jesus gives you inward sweetness. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. You invite him to be your Savior. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and the scripture says if you invite him to be your Savior, he'll wash away all your sins. He'll change you on the inside. He'll make you sweet. He'll give you character. Personality, the ability to be a friend. You can't go into dating, romance, marriage in the power of your own strength. You need the help of the Lord. So, Lord, help us. Strengthen us. Lead us. Father, I pray for your great, great protection upon your people, your sons, your daughters. I pray for patience. I pray for purity. I pray for relationships that are built on the foundations of friendship and character and responsibility and love and patience, godliness. I pray that there would be no rush. Pray that we would wait for your timing. And then, Lord, I pray for marriages that are represented here tonight. There are some marriages that are doing great. There are some marriages that are not doing so great. And everywhere in between. Father, I pray that we would grab hold of these principles. That you would increase our friendship with our spouses, our times of intimate communication, talking heart to heart, character, kindness, preference. Lord, that our relationships would be beautiful and that many would come to you as a result of seeing our marriages. Give us your help, Lord. We need your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.